We open the Word of God this morning to the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. We read the Word of God in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Then we turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll read the first two verses and then go down to verse 10. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And then verse 10, Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm, and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. We consider this morning Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism. You can find it on page 3 in the back of the Psalter. Lord's Day 1, question and answers 1 and 2. What is thy only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, that I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with His precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore by His Holy Spirit He also assures me of eternal life, and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto Him. How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou enjoying this comfort mayest live and die happily? 3. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. Beloved, of all the Reformed catechisms and creeds, none is so well known and so well loved as the Heidelberg Catechism. And that's especially true in a Reformed congregation. We love the Heidelberg Catechism. And of all the questions and answers that are in the Heidelberg Catechism, none is so familiar and so well loved as the first one. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? It's a popular, it's a well-loved confession and statement. And the same can be said about the passage that we read, Psalm 23. There's no passage in all the Scripture so familiar and so well-loved as that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's a reason for that, or several reasons. And the reason is this, first of all, that the statement in the catechism here and the expression of faith in the psalm is personal. It's not theoretical. It's not a mere statement of doctrine, but it's a statement which is a personal confession of the child of God. This is my comfort in my life and my death, that I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's personal. And both are so popular and well-loved for the child of God also because both of them bring us before the great enemy of death. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That in my body and in my soul, in death as well as life, I belong to my faithful Savior. And Psalm 23 puts it this way, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Death is a great enemy. What's the answer to death? How shall we face death? In the Heidelberg Catechism and Psalm 23 both give us God's answer to this great enemy called death. And having an answer to this great enemy and this great fear, we have an answer to whatever troubles and whatever trials there are that come in our life. Having comfort in the face of death, we have comfort in every circumstance of our life. And so the Heidelberg Catechism is loved, and Psalm 23 is so well loved because their comfort and their encouragement is all-encompassing. It's so inclusive. It covers everything, your body and your soul, your life, every day of your life, and death as well. These are the beautiful, comfortable words of Scripture. And so this morning, as we begin to look at that, you need to ask yourself, what are my troubles? What are my trials? What are my difficulties and my anxieties in life? What grief and what pain do I bear in my heart and soul? What fear? What anxiety? I look at the future. I look at the present. And there are troubles. I look at my family. I look at my work situation. There are concerns that I have. My health. And death. Death is there. Somewhere. In the sickness. In the relations. What's my comfort? What's my comfort for this body which is every day dying? What's my comfort for my life which is nothing but a continual death? What's my comfort for death itself? What is your comfort? What is your comfort in life and in death? This morning we want to look at this Lord's Day under the theme comfort and joy in life and death. Comfort and joy in life and death. We'll notice three things. First, our constant need. In the second place, our only comfort. And then third, our abiding joy. Comfort and joy. Those are two parts of the Christian's experience that the Catechism addresses here. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? And then how many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? So the Catechism not only talks about being comforted, but it also talks about joy and happiness in the life of the child of God. What is comfort? Well, comfort is to have an overwhelming awareness of a great good that takes care of every bad situation in our life. It doesn't mean that the evils that come in our life are removed from us so that we don't have to go through them and endure them. But the comfort gives us strength, and the comfort gives us hope, and the comfort gives us something greater to hold on to than whatever the troubles and experiences of our life. When your little child is distressed, you comfort the child by pointing to something greater than whatever the distress they're going through. That's comfort. Also joy. What is joy? Well, joy is a greater thing than comfort even. Joy is the happiness in our life and in our heart and in our soul that results from having this great comfort. You can get comfort. You can have it. You can get things in your life. But to enjoy them, to find true joy in them, is another thing. And so here, there's joy also for the child of God in his life. And the Catechism is pointing to these two things as real experiences in the life of the believing child of God. They're possible. They're achievable. They're not just unreal hopes, but these are real for the child of God regardless of his situation in life, no matter how hard, even in the face of death itself. Comfort and joy. Now the psalmist in Psalm 23 expresses both of those things out of his own experience. You have the comfort there when he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." He's comforted even as death casts a shadow over his life, even as he passes through its dark, dark gates. He finds comfort. The Lord is with him in death's shadow. And joy. He goes on to say, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And he's talking about joy in life. This is his experience. This is his life. Even though he passes through the bitter trials and sorrows of death itself. So these are both real and they're both attainable in the life and the experience of the child of God. And the Catechism really asks this question: what is your comfort? What is that great thing that you can have, that you can have an awareness of, that will outweigh whatever the sorrows are that come, even death itself? And how do you enjoy that comfort? What is your joy, and how do you come into the joy of that comfort? Now, this is a very personal question. It's not theoretical. We're not just talking about how sinners can find comfort. That's not the answer that's given here. If a police officer pulls you over for speeding, and he asks you a question, why were you speeding? You don't say, "Well, there's a sign back there, and sometimes people speed by that sign, and it's the police officer's job to pull them over." No, it's about you. What is your comfort? And we ought to examine ourselves this morning before this question. What is our comfort? Where do we find our comfort? What is our joy in life? Where do we find fulfillment and happiness in life? That's the question. And we should think of it as a very personal question. Someone has pulled us aside for a personal conversation and they look deeply into our eyes and they ask us this question: what is your comfort? What is your joy in life and as you face death? Now we have to do that because the world presents us many alternatives and ways to find comfort. Some people in the world find comfort when things are going well for them in life. When life is good, then they think, "Well, I have comfort in life. Everything is going well and I have everything that I want and I have good health and there are very few things that I still want." Other people will find solace in their ability to brush aside the trials of life. They have a strong will. They can stand up and say, "Well, I can take this. There'll be a better day." And so they find comfort in that kind of an approach to life. Things could be worse. Still others find their comfort in escaping the trials and the troubles of real life, escaping them with a vacation or medication or partying and alcohol or the love and warmth of human relationships or escape into the fantasy world of movies. And they find their comfort in such things. Get away from life and its realities and its troubles. And find your comfort in pleasures and in luxuries. Still others find their comfort in the things of life that put a smile on our face, the pleasures of the modern world, the advances of science and medicine that can help us and give us answers in physical troubles. What is your comfort? What is your joy? As you look at what the world has to offer, you see that there's a universal need for comfort. Everyone feels the need to be comforted. And the world, every person in this world is looking for a comfort, for relief from the trials and troubles of life. You only have to go to a hospital or to a nursing home or to a funeral or to a cemetery or to a war-torn country. You see the refugees fleeing with no clothes and no food and no shoes. You see the homeless begging for food, broken relationships, bankruptcy, theft, murder. All these things show man's need for comfort. The Scriptures put it this way in the book of Job, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. And Ecclesiastes chapter 2, all his days are sorrow and his travail grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. Man feels the need. What is your comfort? Where do you go? Penetrating question. Now to answer this question, we have to see what this need really is. It's more than just a universal need. It's more than just a need that everybody has a sense of and recognizes. But why is there this universal need for comfort? And when people find comfort in some of these other things, do they really have comfort? Do they really have joy? We have to see that this is a personal need, an ongoing need. There's only one comfort. What is thy only comfort? There's only one answer. And that's because there's one great cause for all the misery of man. There's one great cause lying at the bottom of man's misery, lying behind death, lying behind whatever sickness or disease or poverty, lying behind it all is sin. And only when sin has an answer do we have true comfort. We need comfort because we're all descendants of Adam and Eve, and as their descendants, we inherit through their fall into sin a sin-cursed world, an evil nature, and the wrath of God against us in our lives. God, in the beginning, created a perfect world, and He put Adam and Eve in the garden in perfection, and they lived in a wonderful covenant relationship with Him, but they sinned, and that brought profound consequences on all of humanity. God drove them from the garden. God cursed the ground for their sakes. God sent death. And with death, the things that lead to death, sickness and disease. Adam and Eve became sinful in their character, in their being. And sin began to exercise its power and its exertion over him. Sin multiplied and developed in their offspring. So there was hatred and murder and theft and adultery in their children. The world became a dangerous place to live. Life for man is filled with sorrow, and sin lies at the bottom of it. Sin is the explanation of it, and sin as God's consequence and God's punishment on man for his departure. All of man's misery is an expression of God's wrath against sin. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, Romans 1. Or as the psalmist puts it in Psalm 90, Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. All our days are passed away in Thy wrath. This is man's experience. This is man's need. It's universal. But it's constant. It's personal. It's your need. It's your need today. It's your need yesterday. It's your need tomorrow. What is your comfort as you find yourself a descendant of Adam living in this world, feeling the effects and the experiences of sin in your life physical, in your life spiritual? What is your comfort? There's a constant need for the child of God. And we have to realize that this comfort isn't something that we just get once and now we're all set. But it's a fountain which we must drink from daily. The troubles of life never cease. They increase day by day. And as we go through life, the consciousness of our sin, the consciousness of the wrath of God against sin, the day of our death and the judgment day of God loom closer. And everyone, as he lives in this experience, whether he acknowledges it or not, knows he must face God the judge. And that's the real fear of death. God the judge. Men are terrified. Women are terrified at the thought of death, because they must face their Maker. What is your comfort? What is your comfort in daily life? What is your comfort in death? Well, the Catechism gives to us the most beautiful answer and confession. This is a universal need, but the confession that the Catechism gives is personal. My only comfort. My only comfort. It turns us to Scripture. It turns us to Christ as the only answer and the only comfort and the only hope for the child of God. And the beauty and the richness of this confession here in Lord's Day 1 is that it's so filled with Scripture. It oozes with Scripture. And this morning, as we go through the four elements of the comfort as they're set out here in question and answer 1, we want to see that this is God's answer. This is what the Scriptures tell us. And this is the only answer and comfort that there can be. There are four things in this comfort in the Catechism. First of all, the Catechism talks about possession. That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior. Whose are you? The Catechism says that this is the comfort of the child of God. He says, I'm not my own. I don't belong to me, but I belong to Christ, my faithful Savior. And there's the beginning of our comfort. Now, what the Catechism says here is really a paraphrase from three different passages in Scripture. In Romans 14, verses 7 and 8, none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live to the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's in life and death. We belong to Him. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, the apostle expresses the same idea. He says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You're bought with a price. You're not your own. To whom do you belong? Who has possession of you? Christ. This is our comfort. And Paul's very simple words on the ship traveling to Rome that's in trouble express beautifully this confession. Paul says, "There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, I belong to him, and whom I serve." Now you see, in this idea of possession, in this first part of the catechism, two things. You see, first of all, the comfort, but also the calling. This is the comfort. We belong to Him. This is the calling. Because we belong to Him, we serve Him and we live unto Him. And what a beautiful thought. I'm not my own. How dreadful the thought to say, "I am my own. I'm the master of my fate." To have the responsibility put on you, on me, to stand before God in the judgment day and say, "I'm in control here, Lord." No man will stand before God with that. But to belong to Christ, He takes responsibility for me before God. He takes my sin and curse and puts it on Himself in my place. And He conquers the power of the enemy that's against me, death and sin. I belong not to me, but I belong to Him. And that's beautifully expressed in the psalm that we sang, "The Lord is my shepherd." I belong to Him. What's a shepherd? A shepherd is one who takes responsibility for his sheep, who gives his life for the care and the well-being and the life of the sheep. This is a shepherd's love, as Jesus puts it, that he lays down his life. You know the parable of the good shepherd? And one sheep goes wandering in through valleys and hills and rivers and mud and storm. He goes out to find that one lost sheep. This is the shepherd's love. I belong to Him. And I belong to Him because, as Jesus puts it Himself, the Father has given me to Him. In eternity, the Father deposited into the possession of the Son and into the care of the Son those whom He had chosen in love to be His elect people. I belong to Him. Second, our comfort in the catechism is salvation. The catechism goes on to say, "I'm not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with His precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins." It's talking about salvation with body and soul. I belong to Him. And now it's talking about soul. His care for my soul. And the catechism would point us away from the subjective, from our own experience in ourselves, to the objective, to Christ and the Savior and what He has done for us. This is faith that learns to look away to Jesus Christ. And it explains the Savior this way. First, He's a faithful Savior. That comes from Scripture, Revelation 1, verse 5. He's a faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the Prince of the kings of the earth, the one who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. What does it mean that He's faithful? How does He show His faithfulness? Well, it means this: He's committed. He's undying in His commitment. And He shows His faithfulness in this, that He washes us in His blood. the cross. And the Catechism points to two aspects of the work of salvation that come to us through the cross. With His precious blood, He's fully satisfied for all my sins. Again, it oozes with Scripture. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. The death of Jesus Christ and the shedding of His precious blood is the only way of atonement and covering for the guilt of my sin. It's the only answer to the misery of man. His death is satisfaction. His death covers. Through faith in His blood, we are justified. Romans 3, verses 24 and 25. And then also this, through the death of Jesus Christ, there's victory. That's the second aspect here. He's overcome all the power of the devil. Why did Jesus Christ come? 1 John 3, verse 8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. This is why He came. He came to give us victory. And so the Catechism talks here about justification and sanctification, the two great parts of our salvation, the two great benefits of the cross of Jesus Christ that come to us now. Forgiveness of sins, the blotting out of the handwriting of our sin that was against us, and sanctification, the power of a new life. He came and He conquered principalities and powers, and He defeated them. And this is our comfort in the face of guilt and the power of sin: Christ's cross and salvation. What is your comfort? What is your comfort in life and in death? So this first possession, I belong to Him. And then second, salvation, what He's done for me on the cross. And then third, the Catechism goes on to talk about the precious truth of preservation. He so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And again, you see the Scriptures here. These are the words of Jesus in Matthew 10, verses 29 and 30. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Not a hair can fall from our head without the will of our Father. This is how meticulous, this is how involved the preservation of God is in our life. The one who owns us, the one who's redeemed us in His blood, takes this intense, involved interest in our lives from moment to moment, day to day. Those two little sparrows worth a penny, He knows when they fall to the ground. He knows every detail of our life. The things that go without our notice, He knows. The hairs of our head are all numbered. And so the Apostle says in Romans 8, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. In the Catechism, everything is subservient to my salvation. As God in Jesus Christ governs and controls all the circumstances of my life, He does it to serve this great purpose, my place in glory with Him. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is my comfort in life and in death. Now, it doesn't mean, this preservation doesn't mean that I'm exempt from the suffering and pain of life. Jesus says to His disciples, in this world ye shall have tribulation. You will have trouble, you will have pain, you will have grief and trouble in your life. But none of them can take away this comfort and joy from us. None of them, as Romans 8 points out, can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Everything, all of them, every one of them, serves our salvation and final salvation.
glory. God has ordained them all for our good. Death itself is a servant to bring us into the glory of heaven with Him. That's our wonderful comfort. In pain and anxiety and fear, in doubt and death, all things. All things for our good. And then fourth, the Catechism points to our comfort this way by speaking of the work of the Holy Spirit. It goes on to say, wherefore by His Holy Spirit. And what does that mean? What is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, He's God. And when it talks about the work of the Holy Spirit, it means God is with us, and He remains with us in all the power of His Godhead to face every struggle of our life. God is with us. Just like the psalm, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. God is with us in the Spirit. And the Spirit does two things. He assures me. He bears testimony in my heart and in my life that the promises and the work of God are real, that the cross and the benefits of the cross of Jesus Christ are mine, as I through faith trust in Jesus Christ. He confirms the promises of God to me. And then second, He makes me heartily and sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto God. That's what the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit does. Gives me a hearty love and a sincere commitment to the Lord, so that I find my joy and I find my comfort not in all that the world has to offer. I don't need those things. But I find my joy and my comfort in the gospel of Jesus Christ and in God Himself. And my life is directed in the service of God. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And this is how I know the presence of God. This is what works this assurance in me. The Holy Spirit leaves His mark in my life, in my heart, in my desires, that I belong to Jesus. He's changed the perspective and the goal and the aspirations of my life. This is our comfort. We belong to Jesus. He's fully satisfied for all our sins. He preserves us. And He gives the Spirit, the Comforter, to live and dwell with us. And that produces joy, an abiding joy in the life of the Christian. And by that we mean this, a perpetual daily, ongoing, unending source of joy in our lives. You see, we should take this Lord's Day of the Heidelberg Catechism and understand that this is medicine for our lives from day to day. This is not a bomb shelter. This is not something that we only take up in times of trial and trouble, but this is our comfort, this is our joy, this is our hope, this is the expression of our faith in daily living. Yes, it's a beautiful word of comfort in trouble. We pull it out and we read it at hospital beds and at funerals, and there's great comfort and encouragement for us in it, but this has to be more than a bomb shelter. It has to be our daily medicine. Our daily joy, our daily comfort, the daily perspective of our life. I belong to Jesus. I am not my own. And when we live with that kind of a daily dependence and consciousness, then when the trials and the troubles come, our faith won't be shaken, but we'll still have this joy abiding, staying with us, constant in the troubles and the trials of our lives. And in connection with that, it's important for us to look at the second question and answer here. How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? Now it's talking about the joy. About the joy of having this comfort and living happily and dying happily. Living in this joy from day to day. How are we going to have this comfort? How are we going to enjoy this comfort? Not only have it, but enjoy it. And this is very important. It takes us back to last week. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How have and how enjoy this comfort? The answer is by knowing. Three things: guilt, grace, and gratitude. Sin, salvation, and service. How great my sins and miseries. How I may be delivered. And the gratitude, the thankful life that I owe to God for such deliverance. We must know these things. And it's important here as we talk about knowing these things that we understand that these are not stations on a road, and when we've accomplished this one, we move on to the next one. It's never that way. The child of God never comes to a complete knowledge and understanding of sin. The child of God never comes into a full experience and consciousness of the great salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ and our Savior. We always grow in the knowledge of Him. And the child of God never attains to perfection in this life with regard to thankful living. This is a knowledge that must increase. That must increase day by day. And this is the idea: as we grow in our consciousness of these things, as the Spirit teaches them to us, as we come into a greater humility because of our sin and a greater faith in Jesus Christ and a greater holiness in our living, the greater the joy and the awareness of this comfort will be in our lives. And so you see why this knowledge and why repetition again and again, growth in this knowledge, is important. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we increase in this awareness, there's a greater sense of belonging. I'm not my own, but I belong to Jesus. And that's my comfort. That's my hope. That's my joy. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for these comfortable words from Scripture and in the Catechism. We pray, Lord, that we may hold to them and follow them and make them our daily confession till we shall arrive at the full hope that's expressed in them, life eternal in glory. For Jesus' sake, amen.